You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
Oftentimes we say we will do the hardest things, but not the more important, easier things. And so it's easy to talk about and gossip about the downward trajectory of our public schools, but it's much harder to actually take a stand and create a routine of prayer for our schools.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you miss a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
You know, I love what's happening here because different parts of our family is speaking. And, you know, in our world, there's what has destroyed the family is people not listening to each other within the family. And what God has brought here is a bunch of people that have become part of the family, and we get to listen to them. And tonight, it's to me a special honor because I worked with Justin and Kylie when they were first here, basically. And to see how they have grown and affected other people, especially the kids that they work with. So it's a real pleasure and joy that I get to turn the mic over to you, Justin. Thanks for being part of the family.
Thank you, Keith. So if you're wondering if the energy level that Keith has is real or if he just puts it on for things like this, it's very much real. Very much real. We used to do this middle school trip where we would drive the students 5 hours to the coast where I grew up and stay up late and stay at a church. There's some middle school or high schooler students now, but they were middle schooler who went on that trip here tonight. But there's one night where we would let all the students fall asleep. And then at about midnight, 1 a.m, we'd come wake them up with blowhorns and super loud. And then we'd have an ice cream party at like 1 a.m. And middle schoolers think that's the coolest thing in the world. But Keith, this is just a few years ago. And Keith, not that I want to throw you under the bus, but at 78, would wake up at 1 a.m. and he was the life of the party. I kid you not. I have a video of him dancing, going crazy with the middle school. I need to pull that up and bring that sometime. But so Keith's energy levels are not fake. They are very much so real. And we're blessed to get to work alongside Keith as well. All right, before I get started, I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll dive into the message I have for tonight. So dear Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together, God, and just to take a moment to refocus and hear your heart for what you have for us tonight. In your name, amen. So if you don't know who I am, my name's Justin. It's been a little bit since I've spoken, but I feel privileged to be up here. It's nice to be able to share with you guys again. But to start us off tonight, I'm a firm believer that we learn best in relationships. So if you know a little bit about the person who you're listening to, it's a little bit easier to pay attention, a little bit easier to learn that way. And so a little bit about me. If you don't know, Kylie is my beautiful wife up here. She's pretty awesome. She leads our middle school ministries here at the church. And if you've seen the little blonde 2-year-old running around, he's mine. If he steals your cane, then I'll just turn my head. That actually happened last Sunday. He grabbed an elderly lady's cane and ran off with it. Thankfully, she was a good sport about it, and she thought it was funny, too. I did not think it was funny, because I was worried worried about what might happen. But yeah, we have our little 2-year-old Jethro, who's awesome, full of energy, and likes to do crazy things. I think he takes after Keith a little bit, stealing canes and running off with them. In addition to that, we have a little girl on the way, so we're super excited about that. It feels a little bit wrong in our family to have like a boy right away and then a girl right away, because I came from a family with 3 boys and then a girl. And so I feel like we haven't done our dues yet, but... Yeah, but we're excited to have a boy and a girl coming. In addition to that, I'm a health and PE teacher at a local middle school here, so I love getting to spend time with middle schoolers here in Grants Pass. It's been a really cool connection, because with my role, I can't directly like preach the gospel in my classroom setting, but when students ask me, oh, you know, what do you do? Like, I talk about how I'm involved at my church, and I can answer questions like that in the school setting. And one thing I always talk about is how amazing my wife is. And so Kylie is like famous at my middle school because I tell people how amazing she is. I tell all the students, and then of course, probably 10 or so of our middle schoolers here actually go to my school. And so they tell everyone else how amazing Kylie is. So it's a really cool bridge. I get to build relationships with them, and I'm like Justin, and then like it's like Kylie, she's so awesome, and so I get to push him off to Kylie, and it's a cool connection we have between my classrooms and the church here. So it's been awesome. Tonight, in specifically, what I'd like to talk about is I want to talk about the comparisons. I've been reading through Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. The last few days, and tonight specifically, I'm going to focus on talking about some comparisons that I've seen, and Pastor Jason talked about that this morning, that I see between our current culture and public schools in general, and the book of Corinthians, and then what does that mean for us today? What should we do moving forward with this information? And I'm sure you guys know that public schools across the board on the news, for the most part, are very secular. I'm sure everyone is very well aware of that. Promoting the exact opposite of what God's word stands for. I'm lucky that the public school that I teach at, I would say about half of our teachers are born again. So that's pretty awesome for a public school. And in addition, we have an administrator that supports us. So I really appreciate that. But that's not the case across the board. And a few things that I want to talk about that I'm seeing in the public schools that I feel like my perspective is very unique, because you hear a lot of stuff, but you don't actually get to talk to someone who lives it and sees it on a regular basis. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what I'm seeing and the connections and what God wants us to do based off of that. But our children are coming from very, very broken homes. Just 2 weeks ago, I had a student who shared about how their parents got in a knife fight. Like, stuff like that is pretty normal at the public school level. Drugs and alcohol are predominant. Hearing students tell stories about one parent getting mad, drunk, and doing this or that, and having to have lots of conversations with admin. But the truth is that our culture is very, very broken. Dysfunction is the norm. A lot of the things that I grew up with in the church, a lot of the behaviors that I just considered normal, like how you treat people and things like that, is not the case at the public school level and in our culture overall. So reading Corinthians recently through 1 Corinthians, I was reminded of the similarities between Corinth and what we are seeing in our culture now. I found it ironic that the commentators in my Bible in particular call Corinthians the most problem-centered letter in the New Testament. That's what scholars have to say about Corinthians. And if Corinthians is the closest example that we have to our culture today, that's pretty shocking. Some of the problems that Corinthians was facing, I'm sure you'll notice that these are things that we face today in our own culture. Allowing church leaders to become idols and causing divisions. There was sexual sin was running rampant in the church. There was all sorts of marriage relationships and having to deal with a lot of issues with food being offered to idols and things like that. But the church in Corinthians had all sorts of problems that Paul writes to address. and he focuses on. And scholars say this about Corinth, that Corinth, an ancient city in Greece, was in many ways the most prominent Greek city of Paul's time. Like many of today's major cities, Corinth was intellectually arrogant, materially wealthy, and morally corrupt. Every kind of wickedness, deviance, and corruption flourished in this notoriously sensual city. So there's a lot of similarities to our culture now. But here's what I found really, really interesting. Paul spends time in Corinthians picking apart these different issues and telling them how they need to change this or change that. But I really want to focus on is the secret weapon that we find that Paul addresses all of these issues with. And this is one of my main points tonight that I want you guys to get out of my message. And this is the secret weapon and how we can face issues like this in our own culture. And before I explain it, I want to make a comparison really quick. Have any of you guys ever heard of, when considering secret weapons, of the DF-21 or DF-26 when it comes to military weapons? So, okay, that's okay. No worries. So these are missiles. So I'm sure you've heard of like all the new technologies with drone warfare and things like that. And I'm sure you've heard that aircraft carriers and things like that, like when it comes to militaries, that's what how countries show their strength. Like, oh, how many aircraft carriers does your country have? Oh, China has this many. America has this many. Russia has this many. Well, nowadays they're saying aircraft carriers don't really matter because they have missiles. That's what the DF-21 and DF-26 are, that can lock on a target up to 2,000 miles away, and then they can blow aircraft carriers out of the water. So aircraft carriers are becoming a thing of the past when it comes to advanced warfare because of these new secret and new high-tech weapons that are being invented. And so why am I bringing up these cool, crazy weapons? Because the truth is that we have a secret weapon that is able to cut deep into any culture and able to transform and change culture. And this secret weapon that we have, and this is the weapon, this is what Paul focuses on at the beginning and the middle and the end in Corinthians, and this is the gospel. In chapter 1, verse 17, Paul begins talking about the first issue he addresses in Corinthians. Is he talks about how the people in Corinthians, they wanted to make idols out of the different pastors and leaders of that time. So they would say, oh, I follow Paul. A group of people would say, oh, I follow Paul. He's my leader. And then another group would say, well, I follow Apollos. And another group would say, well, I follow Peter. He's the main guy. He's the best. But when Paul addresses this, he says, you guys shouldn't say you're following any human leader. You should say that you're following Jesus and not make idols out of human leaders. But before he explains this into detail, he says this: for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Christ, the wisdom and the power of God, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believed. And I couldn't help but see the comparison in verses like this of the current academic arena where, like Pastor Jason mentioned this morning, Christians aren't even given a voice. It's considered foolishness to even think that God is real. But what Paul is saying here is that the gospel and the good news of Jesus is our ultimate power. That's our secret weapon, and that's how we address this current secular generation that has more issues than ever. In chapter 2, Paul continues talking about the importance of the gospel. He says this: and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. So this is very interesting. A lot of times we think that we have to have it all put together in how we present the gospel. We have to say it the right way. We have to say it at the perfect moment. But what Paul says here is the gospel is so powerful, we don't even have to say it the perfect way. He says, I didn't come to you with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The simple truth of the gospel. And he goes on to say, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirits and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's so simple. And that's what's so amazing about it is when we go to deal with this current generation and we're wondering, what do we do? The truth is that we have to understand that the gospel is enough. The gospel is enough. We don't need to have eloquent words. We don't need to put it together in the perfect way. We just need to be ready to present the gospel. And if you've thought that that's the end in Corinthians, Paul just sprinkles the gospel all throughout the whole entire book. In chapter 15, he continues. So he says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So if Paul's secret weapon, if Paul's main message and his main focus to the secular church that was struggling with sexual sins, wasn't honoring God, was the gospel. The gospel is enough. Then I believe it's enough for today. So in my closing, I'm not going to go really long tonight, but I do want to spend a little bit more time in my closing here in a little bit, praying. But I want to keep this in mind, that in the midst of a culture that is intellectually arrogant, materially wealthy and morally corrupt, Paul's main focus and secret weapon begins with and ends with the gospel. In a world that continues to seek self-fulfillment through sin and self-gratification, the answer remains clear. Jesus came to make the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And so, like I said before, I want to remind you, this is my main takeaway right here. I've got two main takeaways, but the first is this. The first and foremost, the simple gospel needs to be our first priority. It is the power under salvation. We need to be fluent in the gospel. We need to make sure those around us have an opportunity to hear. And so I want to leave you guys with this question before I move on to my second point. When is the last time you shared the gospel? It's a rhetorical question. You just think about that in your head. I know for me, it was when I was processing this, I was convicted. When is the last time that I verbalized the gospel to someone? The second thing I want to cap off and end with is our public schools need us to pray. And so my challenge for you is that moving forward, that you would join the fight to pray for our public schools and the different issues that we see. Recently, I watched a clip of a comedian who was talking about Americans and how funny he thought it was that Americans will say, oh, I would die for my country. Have you guys ever heard that? They just throw it out there. I'd die for my country. And this comedian was saying, he was like, it's funny how they say this, but if you asked them to study a book or to work hard and do these little things that are actually going to help their country, like becoming an engineer or a doctor or working hard and studying, those things that actually would move our country forward, those same people would back away and be like, oh, no, I can't do that. But they would die for their country, but yet they're unwilling to do the small little things that actually make a difference. Oftentimes we say we will do the hardest things, but not the more important, easier things. And so it's easy to talk about and gossip about the downward trajectory of our public schools, but it's much harder to actually take a stand and create a routine of prayer for our schools. So my challenge for you is that over this coming year, would you consider praying for these three things that I'm about to list? And my challenge is that at 8:55 a.m., I don't know what that looks like for you in your schedule, that is when our first bell rings at our school. So whatever time that is for you, so 8:55 a.m., if you remember this, I want you to stop, and these are the three prayer focuses that I want you to pray for. And we're going to break into groups and pray for this here in a second. But the first is this right here. Pray that students would have clear opportunities to hear the gospel. And pray that God would reach students in their brokenness. In addition, pray for teachers to have the strength to actively demonstrate the gospel and love students well. And then number three is pray for our local leaders in Oregon. The director, Dr. Charlene Williams, is the current director of the Department of Education here in Oregon. And a lot of the trajectory of education in Oregon is because of those higher-ups. There are state standards in the state of Oregon that you would consider evil. Like us as Christians, we consider evil. And they're there because of those that are in power in our state. So the director of education in Oregon is nominated or is chosen from our governor. So whoever is elected as governor in Oregon chooses the head of the Department of Education in Oregon. And so our specific director, who's in charge of our state standards and things like that, we have influence when it comes to our votes during our different election cycles. So that third challenge is that you would pray for our local leaders. So specifically, Dr. Charlene Williams is our current director of education. So number one, pray that students have a clear opportunity to hear the gospel. Number two, pray for teachers to have the strength to actively demonstrate the gospel and love students well. And lastly, pray for those leaders that are in charge of the Department of Education. We got those three right there? Okay. So here's what I'm going to ask of you. Here in a second, as Leanna plays, I'm going to have you guys get in anywhere of groups of 3 to 5, and I want you to focus on those three things: students, teachers, and those leaders that are in the Department of Education. So, dear Jesus, I thank you for this time together, God, and I pray that we would take Paul's advice, and when it comes to these big issues that seem overwhelming and that seem daunting and hard to face, that we would realize that the gospel is our power. It is our secret weapon that can fight any challenge that might come. So we just ask right now, God, that in the state of Oregon, that there would begin to be a turnaround in our educational system. And we pray, God, that you'd continue to move, and that we pray that through that, that there would be students that come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Okay, we'll take a few minutes. Find a group, and we're going to pray for those three things. We're going to go ahead and wrap up real quick. So, dear Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to lift up our public schools, God. And we just thank you that the battle is just beginning, and the battle belongs to you. So we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what time are you praying at?
8:55.
8:55.